I wondered if that would ever go away, and also what my visitors would have to say about my many experiences during their soon-expected return. When they showed up, Persa was smiling brightly.
Hey, Gary. How does it feel to have a taste of heaven?
Absolutely amazing. But I feel too stupid to put it into words.
Don't try. I was just offering you my congratulations.
Me too, Gary. Now that you've had a sample of permanence, you'll be less impressed by the impermanent, which will make it even easier for you to forgive.
Yes, Artin. Persa gave me a forgiveness example that helped her tremendously in her final lifetime. But you haven't. What's the deal? Are you failing to fulfill your holy obligation to me at the risk of incurring the wrath of the Lord our God?
Don't be judgy. I learned that word in my final lifetime. Sure, I'll give you an example. But one of the things I want you to know is that when you achieve mastery, you really understand the whole idea of the world being your movie. Let me ask, even though we've touched on this before, when you're asleep in your bed and dreaming at night, or in your case, sometimes even before you go to sleep and you have your eyes closed, you see moving pictures with sound, right?
Yeah, but when I'm asleep, my dreams can seem every bit as real to me as you do right now.
All right, but most people don't stop to think and ask, exactly what are you seeing those dream images with? Your eyes are closed. If your eyes are closed, then it certainly can't be the body's eyes you're seeing with. That's an important point.
All right, I'll grant you that. I must be seeing with my mind.
Yes, and you've already had a sense of that before in your waking life. You said it was kind of scary. The truth is that when you are apparently awake during the day and you have your eyes open, it's not really the body's eyes you're seeing with any more than when you're asleep at night. It's always your mind that is seeing. It's always your mind that is hearing and feeling and doing the other things you give the body's senses credit for. There is no exception to this. The body itself is just a part of your projection. As you attain mastery, you know the movie you're watching is all your projection. It's not coming from someone else's mind, because there is only one mind. That's why all judgment is folly. Yes, the projection you call the universe is coming from a different, split-off level than the one you are currently experiencing. That's why it seems real if you let it be real. On this level, the body appears to be experiencing something outside itself. But what appears to be outside you is merely a macro view that is being projected by your own mind. And your experience of it here is merely a micro view that is being projected by your own mind. It's absolutely true to say that only your interpretation of it, your judgment or forgiveness, makes it real or unreal. Now, as you become accomplished in the application of forgiveness, your pain and your discomfort will lessen and sometimes disappear. Notice I didn't say that the apparent cause of the pain and discomfort would disappear. It would be theoretically possible for a master to die of cancer or be murdered like Jay and not feel the pain associated with such events. If your pain is gone and you're suffering along with it, then does it really matter if the illusory cause of the pain still appears to be there?
I never thought of that. The world would judge the situation by the appearance, but it would be possible for a master not to suffer, regardless of what appeared to be happening, and to even be quite unconcerned about it. The world would say, that person died of cancer, some enlightened being. Yet it could have been a forgiveness lesson that was accepted by that person and done very successfully.
Which is just one more reason why you should never go by appearances. If there is no effect or pain, then there is no cause, not really. Whatever appears to be causing your pain, whether it's a circumstance or a relationship or both, may or may not disappear when you practice forgiveness. The ego's script doesn't always appear to change when you want it to. But it is possible to end all the suffering that's called for by the ego's script and have peace instead of fear. That's the Holy Spirit's script. Remember, just like you choose which movies you go to see at the local theater, you also chose this movie you call your life, as well as any other life movie you attend. It's always a case of self predestination. Your Lifetime movie's already been filmed, Gary, just like your bargain matinees. You know it, so why fight it? Remember, we didn't say you shouldn't have your personal interests. You wouldn't have them in the first place if they weren't part of the script. So yes, develop your abilities. Trade the markets if you want to, as just one example. Use technical analysis. Get excited when you see a divergence on your stochastics, although a simple trend-following method would be smarter. While you're doing things like that, don't forget that the body's eyes see nothing, and you're really just experiencing your own movie. By the way, it doesn't matter if you like the ending or not, because it's never really the ending, just a new beginning until there's no need for any more beginnings or endings. When that time comes, there'll be nothing but true joy, and heaven's seeming opposite will disappear. Another thing you should remember is not to be distracted by teachings that may serve others and help them feel temporarily better, but are not part of the path you've chosen. There will be those who tell you that when you have a problem, person, or object to deal with, you can say, "I am that," and it will disappear. Becoming one with something in your projection only makes it real for you, and will not undo the guilt in your mind that you can't see. Only true forgiveness can do that. There will also be those who tell you that observing and being aware of your emotions will free you from your compulsions. Yet even though you've seen for yourself that observing your feelings can lessen their impact, it is still not the same as forgiving them. Only the true forgiveness of your relationships, and thus the healing of the unconscious guilt in your mind, can really free you from your compulsions or anything else. Finally, you may hear from those seeking balance, the balancing of body, mind, and spirit, or balancing dual forces like yin and yang, or balancing the force itself. Balancing illusions is not forgiving them. Concentrate on the path that was meant for you. Others will follow that same path during different lifetimes. Don't forget, the Course is a very new thing. Rock and roll is 20 years older than the Course. Be grateful you got to play both, and give this new spiritual path a chance to find those it's meant to find. Nobody knows how to forgive at first. It takes time to learn. People don't know what they're doing to their own minds when they judge and condemn others. Even us, Jay's own disciples, didn't really understand it at first. Sure, we thought we knew a lot at the time. Everybody does. Yet, as Jay says in the Course, in regard to the derivative teachings of the New Testament, some of which originated with and were handed down by certain disciples, "As you read the teachings of the apostles, remember that I told them myself that there was much they would understand later, because they were not wholly ready to follow me at the time." I hope that will help put an end to the myth that the disciples were ascended masters. That includes Persa and myself. Some people may not want to know it today, but all of the disciples had at least 20 more lifetimes to go through and more lessons to learn before they attained their enlightenment. We certainly did learn a lot from Jay in that lifetime, though, because we couldn't help but be struck by his belief in the one great commandment of the God of Israel. "The Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might." Jay had the kind of humility that said, "God, I just want you." How many people are ready to say that and mean it? Are you ready to go for the end game? During my final lifetime, I was in my 60s by the time I met Persa. It would be the final lifetime for both of us. Her husband had passed on a couple of years before that, and my wife had made her transition also. Persa and I recognized quickly that we belonged together. Not only did we have the Course and our personal understanding of it in common, but we sensed we had known each other in previous lifetimes. In fact, we were able to help each other remember many events from previous incarnations. We lived together in that last lifetime, but didn't marry. It was our way of honoring our spouses, and yet having each other at the same time.
"You rascal!
We won't give you personal details, nor do we expect you to reveal intimate details about your life. Some things are best forgiven in private. Persa and I were about the same age, and I'll tell you what was unique about our relationship. We loved each other very much, but we released each other to the Holy Spirit. We didn't make any demands or calls to sacrifice. Just as the world confuses pain with pleasure, it also confuses sacrifice with love. Yet what is sacrifice in the final analysis but a call for pain? Is that what you really want for the ones you love? Your special loves are simply idols in which you seek to get what you feel is lacking in yourself. Romance is a vain attempt to fill an imagined emptiness, a hole that doesn't really exist, but that you experience as a result of the separation. That sense of lack can really only be healed by the atonement and salvation, leading you to the wholeness of your oneness with God. Persa and I were fortunate enough to have learned that by the time we met. We didn't demand the fulfillment of special love bargains. We let each other be the way that we were, and we were free to love each other without demands, but as an expression of our oneness as Christ and with God. Persa became enlightened before I did. We had been together for about 8 years when we knew it had happened. There's no explanation of what it was like that would do her experience justice. We just knew it. I didn't worry about the fact that she was a little ahead of me, because I knew that we were on the same path and on pretty much the same level. The next decade after that was wonderful.